Would you like to share something you've heard on Issues Etc. via email, Facebook, Twitter, or text message? We've made it easy for you. Just go to the Listen On Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, and click Share This. You'll find almost 50 ways to share Issues Etc. audio. We love our on-demand listeners. Old Theology, New Technology, issuesetc.org. Go to the Listen On Demand page and click Share This.
Across the continent, there are places where too often fear prevails. From Mali to Mogadishu, senseless terrorism all too often perverts the meaning of Islam, one of the world's great religions.
It's not me who's creating the slippery slope. Those who are rejecting a male-female requirement to marriage are providing all the grease for that slippery slope.
The church needs men with hair on their chest.
Our greatest enemy is not our inability to keep the Ten Commandments or our inability of a good moral life. God is not a moralist.
Indiana truck drivers, love issues, etc.
I think it's safe to say that the Supreme Court justices, whether they're writing a majority opinion or a minority dissent, choose their words carefully. One word was chosen by the writer of the majority opinion in the defense of marriage case recently in the news, Justice Anthony Kennedy. That word was dignity, and it's not the first time that he has used it. He did use it 9 times in the course of 26 pages of a majority decision. So one is probably fair in asking the question, what is Justice Kennedy's definition of dignity, especially as it bears upon the decision he was a part of to overturn the Defense of Marriage Act? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live this Wednesday afternoon. It's the 3rd of July. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Sharif Girgis joins us for the first few minutes. We're going to talk about Justice Anthony Kennedy's frequent use of that term dignity in a Supreme Court decision on same-sex marriage. Mark Tooley joins us after that. The United Church of Christ has decided to divest over the next couple of years in its pension funds from investments in fossil fuel companies. They say it's a symbolic gesture, symbolic of what? Pastor George Borghardt will be our guest. We'll talk about being born from above. We'll stay with the subject of baptism with Dr. Peter Scare, and then we'll round off everything in this 2 hours of Issues, etc., talking with Elliot Miller of the Christian Research Journal about the worldview of yoga, especially in light of the story out of San Diego. A judge has ruled in favor of a public elementary school teaching yoga, says it's not promoting any religious doctrines. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, and our Twitter address, @issuesetc. Sharif Girgis is a PhD student in philosophy at Princeton University, a Juris Doctorate candidate at Yale Law School, and co-author of the new book, What is Marriage? Man and Woman, a Defense. Sharif, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
As far as we can tell, what is Justice Kennedy's definition of the word dignity?
Well, he gave some comments on it at the hearing for his Senate confirmation. But probably the most important passage comes in the court's decision in Planned Parenthood v. Casey, which by all accounts Kennedy probably wrote, where he says at the heart of liberty is the right to define your own concept of existence, of the universe, and of the mystery of human life. And I think something like that is his concept. It's the sense of being our own creators, not just by our own free choices, by the commitments that we make, but even somehow, maybe to some extent, our own creators of our concepts of right and wrong, good and bad.
So is it something along the lines of I get to define not just my own self-concept, but my own truths?
I think that's a key part of it. Yeah.
So how does it bear upon the most recent decision announced by the Supreme Court? And again, Justice Kennedy is assumed to be the author of the majority opinion there on gay marriage.
Well, Justice Kennedy charges that DOMA, the Defense of Marriage Act, which defined marriage for federal purposes as the union of a man and a woman, was a violation of the dignity of people in same-sex relationships. And I think you have to have a very I think, unusual idea of dignity to think that the state's failure to recognize a relationship as a marriage is not just a statement that this is a different kind of relationship, and not even a statement of any kind of negative import for the relationship, but somehow a denigration of the people within it. That's what he ended up saying in the decision. I think, you know, for him, it is, we're disrespecting people unless we ratify as a society and through our laws the relationship in which they report finding the most personal fulfillment.
So it goes hand in hand with the other widely reported statements from Kennedy's opinion, where he essentially says the only reason one would have for opposing the recognition of same-sex marriage is some sort of animus against homosexuals personally.
Yeah, I think that's right. And that's really the shocker, I think, to come out of the court last week. It's a huge, huge deal, though it's easy to miss because the court didn't quite go as far as it did in Roe v. Wade on abortion. It didn't say that all the states have to get in line on this issue. But its reasoning for striking down the Federal Defense of Marriage Act was super expansive. The basic idea was the only possible basis is not, it's not even like a good basis that just happens to be the wrong kind of reason for lawmaking, as some people think of religious reasons as being. Now, I would disagree with them, but leave that aside. He said, he went much farther. He said this: the only possible motivation is to harm, to humiliate, to disparage, to deny. That is his conception of traditional marriage laws, conjugal marriage laws, and that's why he thinks it's a violation of people's dignity and not just an honest effort at promoting the common good.
So just to make sure we're clear here, he is saying there is no rational, no reasoned basis for opposing same-sex marriage, period.
He said that certainly in the connection of DOMA. And the question is, could that be true of DOMA but not of state definitions of marriage? And nobody has been able to figure out how there could be a difference. So he definitely said that of DOMA, and he all but said it of state definitions of marriage.
You used the term super expansive. What do you mean by that? What are you saying about what could come from the kind of reasoning Justice Kennedy has employed here?
Sure. Well, he has basically said that this is, that support for traditional marriage is an irrational viewpoint, that it's a form of bigotry, that it's malicious. It's not just mistaken. Now think of what we do with views that are not just mistaken but malicious in our society, views like racism. Well, we use every tool at our disposal, short of criminal law itself, to marginalize people who hold those views. We deny them any kind of prominence in employment. We deny them any kind of accommodation by the government in terms of tax exemption, in terms of civil contracts and things like that. Any kind of association, any kind of elevation, either by government or even by big entities in the private sector, we deny them because we want to marginalize their views to the fullest extent possible. So basically, he is giving the green light for that same huge apparatus of exclusion and marginalization to be used against anyone who supports the conjugal view of marriage.
Does this explain why, at least for his part, Justice Antonin Scalia's dissent was so pointed, so particular?
Yeah, I mean, Justice Scalia made no bones about this. He said the majority opinion today accuses marriage supporters of being enemies of the human race. Now, that's a legal term that used to be applied to pirates. They were people who were seen as so injurious to the well-being, not just of this or that country on the high seas, but of all countries, that they were enemies of the human race, and they didn't get the same legal protections that other people would get. And so countries were much freer to do with them as they saw fit on the high seas. Now, that's a particular legal context, but Justice Scalia is saying Kennedy has given the same label and status to, culturally speaking, to supporters of traditional marriage. And of course, the pagans in the church's very earliest centuries, the pagans thought the same way of Christians and saw them as a threat to the moral and social order. Well, today, if we have any such category at all, certainly racists fit into it. And now, according to Scalia, and I think rightly, Justice Kennedy is saying traditional views of morality and sex also fit into it.
Two quick final questions. Do we have any indication from Justice Kennedy that, having read the dissent and understanding how his fellow justices may view his opinion, that he's saying, no, I am not saying the people who oppose this are enemies of humanity?
None at all. The dissents always circulate among all of the justices so that they can adjust their own opinions to correct any misunderstandings. And what we saw last week was the final product. So he's clear that this is the implication. Now, he doesn't make it in those terms himself. He's too tactful for that. But he's clearly not so upset by the accusation that he had to change anything.
Very quickly, a quote from Jeffrey Rosen, the president of the National Constitution Center. He says, "Justice Kennedy is the most activist judge on the court, willing to strike down federal and state laws when they violate individual liberty and dignity." Is he right?
I don't think they really violate individual liberty and dignity. I do think, and, you know, a lot of the justices are happy to strike down laws when they don't agree with the policy conclusions. That's a bad trend, and I think it's been, it hasn't gone away. He's certainly right that Justice Kennedy is very happy to strike down a law when it doesn't suit his conception of liberty, even if he doesn't really have a foundation in the text or history of the Constitution.
Sharif Girgis is a PhD student in philosophy at Princeton University, Juris Doctorate candidate at Yale Law School, and co-author of the new book, What is Marriage? Man and Woman, a Defense. You can purchase this book at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Sharif, thank you.
Thanks for having me.
When we come back, Mark Tooley joins us from the Institute on Religion and Democracy in Washington, D.C. We'll talk about the United Church of Christ divesting its pension funds from fossil fuel companies.
In the 1500s, the Reformers grieved over the view people had of their callings in life, believing work done for the church superior to work done anywhere else. So the Reformers worked to restore a proper balance. But as it's written in Ecclesiastes, there's nothing new under the sun. 600 years later, with the thought of everyone a minister, haven't we gone back? The CLCC has released a new seminar on the doctrine of vocation, an important Lutheran teaching that has fallen into disuse over the years. The solution is to start teaching it once again. The seminar contains four lessons, with a standalone overview lesson available for circuit convocations. Serving our neighbors through our vocations is essential for the task of evangelism practiced according to Scripture. Contact us to schedule your seminar today at theclcc.org. That's theclcc.org. And please consider joining the CLCC or making a donation to help us bring these powerful but low-cost seminars to the laity. theclcc.org.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Would you like to help your son or daughter achieve their maximum athletic potential? Hi, this is Jeff Schwarz, General Manager of Lutheran Public Radio. My friend, fellow parishioner, and certified athletic trainer, Kevin Reisick, is the owner and operator of Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois. Arch Fitness specializes in sports performance training for middle school to collegiate level athletes. For more information, call Kevin at 618-670-6952. 618-670-6952.
Did Martin Luther's political writings lead to the freedom of conscience, the separation of church and state, and German totalitarianism? Divine Kingdom, Holy Order, The Political Writings of Martin Luther is the Issues Etc. Book of the Month. You can read an excerpt at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase Divine Kingdom, Holy Order by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Divine Kingdom, Holy Order, The Political Writings of Martin Luther.